Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
All lost in a strange. Okay, so polar vortex. Bob Gow from Rosebud, South Dakota. That you, Bob? Figured that was you. Stand up here, would you, Bob? How the heck are you?
Good. Good to see you again.
Good to see you. And now you know all about this polar vortex thing, because it struck me by surprise. I thought I was just living in Wisconsin in the winter.
Well, my question was, did anybody notice it here?
Yeah.
That's what I was wondering. 52 below seems like normal for Rhinelander. I don't know. Yeah.
Rhinelander probably is. And what about Lone Rock, coldest place in, at least in the county there? Whatever county they're in, Lone Rock. What county is Lone Rock in?
Richland.
Of course, Richland. I don't know. What about? Are you living in South Dakota now?
Yeah, you're Rosebud.
Yeah,
right.
In Rosebud. And did it strike them as unusual there in Rosebud when it was suddenly 50 below or 40 below?
We're used to cold, although Rosebud's in a banana belt, so it can be 11 below, and you know that's pretty warm and it's comfortable in the wintertime.
Banana, is there like some sort of a?
There are no bananas, but
no.
It's just,
I mean, are you on some sort of a volcanic?
It's the northern end of the Oglala Aquifer, and it's a little warmer right there than anywhere else in South Dakota. Because then you're going.
Why would that end of the aquifer be warmer than the other end?
Well, the water sort of keeps you.
The water, but it's in the ground, though, isn't it?
Is it actually?
Is there steam heat there in Rosebud?
Actually, there is. There's geothermal heat, and
I'm smart, and I didn't even know it.
And we're trying to keep that water clean from that KLX pipeline.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, just trying to keep that out of there. So.
Well, just run it through North Dakota. You should be all right.
Could do that. Could do that.
Unfortunately, you're right underneath them. It's got to come somewhere around. It could go around you, maybe go over into Iowa or something.
Somebody said because the court case in Nebraska said they can't run it through there. It's unconstitutional,
oh, yeah,
the way they routed it. They said, well, they're just going to go to Kansas instead.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you still got Nebraska in between.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know how they figure
it's
that.
It's not a good thing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for clearing some of that up.
You bet. And it was that wind you were complaining about?
Yeah.
We were aiming for Minnesota, but that wind just hit us all the way, and we ended up here.
Thanks for deflecting it our way. Yeah, that wind. I don't get it. Do you enjoy the winter? Do you do winter sports or anything?
No.
No? You go outside and when it's really bad out?
What do you mean by bad?
Bad. I mean like living here bad. You know, going out there and it's really cold or... Still go outside and do stuff, right?
Sometimes.
You like the snow?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you do with the snow? Anything? I'm not accusing you of anything. I know you look like I didn't hear anything or anything. But you build snow things or you ski or anything?
I like to lay in the snow.
You like to lay in the snow. You're my kind of person. That's what I would, if I could stand it, I would do that. And your name is?
Ella.
Thanks, Ella. Nice talking to you. It's a pleasure. Sorry, I didn't mean to pin you down. I didn't, you know. I just want to know if kids. When I was a kid, my mom would put me in my parka. I can remember this. This really zip me all the way up. We had parkas in those days. I don't know if they still do. And then wrap the thing all the way around my head so nothing was visible and push me out the door. And I was, that's called go out and have some fun, Michael. And he'd just stand by the door there waiting, you know, waiting until the. Looking at the knob till it turns again, and that was, for me, that was winter activity in Milwaukee. What David from Sun Prairie says, what's the first sign of spring in Wisconsin? For me, it's when the roof starts leaking, when the ice dam breaks up. It happened to me just the other day. And they get the buckets out, and it makes kind of like an orchestra of sounds, according to what kind of bucket you got. What about for you, Dave?
Dead skunks.
Dead skunks is another good one. Stand up
whenever
a second. Stand. Yes.
Yeah, whenever you smell a skunk, yeah, you can be sure that spring is here.
Yeah. Do you get a lot of dead skunks around you?
No, not really. Just, you know, but they're out on the road and stuff. It's sort of like possums when you see possums and stuff out on the roads. And, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Dead skunks. Anyone got anything else here? Signs of spring in Wisconsin? Got your ice dam breaking up. We got dead skunks so far. Anything else? What?
The snow's gray.
Actually goes black at a certain point. Yeah. Gray snow. Good one. Yes?
Well, you got two things.
Two things. Okay, it's going to be two things. If it's two things, I'll make the trip. If it was just one thing, you could shout that out. But you got two things, and I got to go over there and get them. Okay, come this way at least. It saved me a little mileage there.
Okay, well,
How are you?
Fine.
You got
two things. Yeah. The ice shanties are floating in the lake. And the manure spreaders are out.
The manure spreader. Thank you very much. Those are the two things. That could have been worse, I suppose. Okay. Oh, the shanties are floating. Oh, yeah. The ice fishermen actually start falling in. That's a good sign right there. Do you ice fish at all?
No.
Do anything athletic or sporty?
You definitely. Yeah. What?
What?
I don't know. Oh, okay.
You play cards or what do you do?
Yeah.
What kind of cards do you play?
Euchre.
You play euchre. Now, that's a complicated game.
Oh, it's very complicated.
Yeah. Have you always played euchre? I mean, did someone teach you how to play euchre? Because I've seen guys doing it, and I went, well, God, that seems too complicated.
Oh, yeah, it's five cards apiece. It's pretty tough.
Yeah, but isn't that the one that has the pegs and stuff, isn't it?
Oh, that's a cribbage.
Well, that's cribbage. I was thinking of cribbage then. That's euchre must be easy compared to cribbage.
Yeah, real easy.
You play cribbage as well?
Sure.
Okay. This is just, I think, you sit in a cabin somewhere and drink a lot of beer and play instead of going out and hunting, right?
That's right.
Okay, thank you. So that's considered a sport then in Wisconsin. How can I stop my pet pig from eating all the rugs in the house? Philip Miles? If we can help, but you have a pet pig? Because I'm not going over there if you really don't and you're just hallucinating something here. Okay, he's got a pet pig. I'll make the trip. What sort of pig is it?
It's a miniature pot-bellied pig.
A miniature pot-bellied, is it really a pig then?
It's not.
It's a pig. Is a pot-bellied pig actually a pig or is it just like a big rodent? So I'm sorry. Stand up there, would you? Okay, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. You have a pot-bellied pig, so go tell us.
Yeah, he's about 30 pounds. His name's Jerry.
Jerry?
Yeah, and he's he's a good little pig most of the times, except for the rug. Yeah, there's this one rug in the hallway, and he just tears it up. Yeah.
Why did you get a pot-bellied pig?
Why wouldn't we want a pig?
Why would you want a pig?
It was my idea.
Oh, okay, then it's a good idea.
It was a shared idea. I mean, we had both come to the conclusion separately that we wanted a pig.
Really? Is that how you met over this idea of a pot-bellied pig? Is that...
You could say it.
Craigslist?
Yeah, something like that.
Seeking person who wants pot-bellied pig kind of thing?
That's exactly how we met.
And it's worked out, and are you happy with your pig?
Yeah, so far, except for the destroying things part. Yeah.
Well, but yes.
There is a product called, they use it for like, I think, dogs and cats, but it's called Bitter Apple. It's supposed to like be, but maybe a pig would like go, oh my God, that's so good, and it would just make him more. I don't know. But you could try it. You get it in pet food stores.
Yeah. Does it do any tricks or anything? Are they good pets in general?
Yeah, in general. He can sit, spin, go on a figure eight. He can stay. Yeah. We're learning. He's learning new tricks every week or so.
How old is he now?
9 months.
9 months?
Yep, nine months.
He's so little. He can do a figure eight already at 9 months. That's so cute.
if there's incentive with food, yeah.
Do they do that just naturally? Is that like a defensive thing that pot-bellied pigs do? Figure eights?
No, the defensive mechanism is squealing loudly.
Well, it sounds just great. I wish I could help you more. Problem, but I think John's idea is a good one. Or take the rugs out. I would say either take the rugs out or take the pigs out. Those are the two things you can do. But look at this. Why do goats eat everything? Cora Schultz, Olympia, Washington. Do you have goats?
No.
Okay, then I'm not going over there. You're saying why in general do goats eat like tin cans and stuff? I don't know. Is that even true? Is it true? I don't know. If you had goats, we'd know. Can you get a goat and come back? Okay, all right. But they supposedly eat everything. Anyone here have goats? Okay. Look at this. This is like a dream job. Bridget Miles, what is she? She's a doll accessory designer. That's you with a pot-bellied pig. Can I stand up here, Bridget? Forget about this pig business. Let's get past that. Doll accessory designer?
Yeah, at American Girl.
That's a dream job. That's a dream job.
Thanks, I like it.
I think my job is easy and good, but that's like a dream job. I'm sure it's not easy, but it's
a lot of fun.
As an American girl, did you ever grow up thinking you would be designing accessories?
I used to look at the catalogs a lot and think, I wanted everything, so, yeah.
Have you had some breakout new designs? Have you upgraded her? Not upgraded, but kind of, you know, made her a little, you know, cutting edge?
Sure, but they're not out yet. They're top secret.
Oh, so I can't talk about them. Anything that you've designed that's out that we can talk about?
I've only been there 9 months, so nope.
9 months, okay. Still gestation for these things. Okay. But is it a great job?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
How does one get to be an accessory designer for dolls?
Industrial design background, or schooling, so.
And in school, did they cover some of this doll design stuff, or?
Not exactly. It's just product design in general, but that's what led to it.
American Girl dolls, they're not products.
Oh, of course not.
Well, that sounds just great. And, well, congratulations to you and on the pig and on him as well. He seems like a nice guy. Wow, isn't that a cool job? Would you like to do that? Be a like a designer for accessories for American Girl doll?
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Make friends with her. She can get you in. You know, I mean, that'd be kind of cool design thing. Have you ever been on a stage with a silverback gorilla? No. Thank you, Rebecca, for asking. Why would you ask that, Rebecca Williams? Oh, it's not a real one. No, they aren't that small.
We brought him the whole way from Pennsylvania. He's been listening to you for years.
Why do you happen to have a small silverback gorilla?
One of my friends nicknamed me Uncle Graybush, and they gave me that as a...
so that's supposed to be you?
Yeah, that's supposed to be me, right.
Okay. Silverbacked, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, no, never had that, but thank you very much, and nice to see you again. Does he have a name?
Graybush.
Graybush, okay, Graybush. Well, thank you both. I do have one silverback gorilla thing. When Ellie was about 8 years old, she wanted to eat an entire bag of Snickers. And her mother wouldn't let her, and she was just screaming at him, and she said, "Dad, tell her I can eat the whole bag of Snickers. You're the silverback." That's the only reference I have. Which is certainly not true.
Yeah, how'd that go?
No, that didn't go too good. What's your philosophy on performance? What do you perform? How do you? Why do you perform? Well, here's someone who's an actual performer. R3ID. What does that mean? Libby, Carmel, Indiana. Performer, student, musician, brother, hungry. Oh, that's you. This is a very strange card. Stand up for a minute, would you please? Would you mind? What do you perform as a performer?
I do music. I do acting. I do musical acting.
Yeah. Why do you do that with your mouth when you say those words?
With talking?
No, acting. Yeah,
you like that?
Yeah. So which do you like the best of those things?
Well, both, I guess. Kind of a mix. There's
four of them, I think.
Oh, the qualifications? Yeah. I'm not a big fan of Hungry, personally.
Yeah. No, I don't mean those. I mean, you said you like acting, you like performing.
Okay, so I'm sorry, man.
There's like four things, but...
Yeah, no, I love...
What are you doing right now, let's say, as far as performing?
I'm just enjoying the show right now.
No, I know. Come on. Besides giving me a hard time, what are you doing right now? I mean, in terms of performance.
My college, our college, Beloit College.
Beloit College. Beautiful Beloit College.
Yeah, I'm actually in this play. Next week it goes out. It's called Plan B. It's about domestic violence, and I play a bad person.
You play a bad person?
Pretty dang bad person, yeah.
Could you get into the character? That'd be a tough thing to get into.
Yeah, well, you know, I watched a lot of Breaking Bad and stuff, so it kind of helped.
So you got the Heisenberg principle going there? And
yeah, you know, I got the bald head, and I'll shave my head and everything.
Do you, for the play, you shave your head?
No, I don't.
It'll grow back. You're lucky. You know.
Yeah.
And now you say, what is your philosophy on performance? Is that a serious question?
Yeah.
Does this look like it has a philosophy of performance?
I figure maybe you got like a mantra or something you say.
A mantra?
Yeah. No? You don't? You got anything like that?
No. My advice is don't think about it.
That's a good one. That's it. I got something like that. I say, life's a joke and nobody's cool. It's kind of comforting, you know?
That's your mantra?
So it's one of them.
How does that work for you?
It's great. Because
it helps you when you're...
So I'll be like here and I'll be like, oh my God, it's Michael Feldman. And I was like that.
Yeah. But I get that a lot.
Yeah.
I bet. Last time was 1989, I think, but
that was a good year. Well, anyway, and then I just think, you know, life's a joke. And nobody's cool. Not even Michael Feldman.
No. You know? Least of all, really.
It's comforting, honestly, yeah.
Yeah, no, it comforts me all the time. How uncool I am. And...
Oh, well, I mean, you,
it's not a problem for me. I never thought of a performance. I saw Matthew McConaughey was on that show, you know, where they interview actors, Actors Studio.
Yeah.
You know, ask him what God's going to say to you when you, you know. You know.
What'd God say?
To Matthew McConaughey, a guy would say, hey, man, or something like that. I don't know. Oh, anyway, it wasn't very good, his answer. But he did say about acting, you're talking about playing this part for the detective one, you know, the true detective. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen that. It's an amazing role. Yeah. It's a very complicated character with a lot of psychological damage and all kinds of, you know, excellent character. And he said, he saw it, he said, well, I gotta be this guy. I can't act it.
Yeah.
You know, he said, I gotta be the guy, not act it. So yeah. I thought that's good advice.
No, yeah, it's Well, it's like with the character like in Plan B, he's such a bad guy, but you can't play him like a ridiculous Disney villain or something. You got to get in there.
Yeah, get the empathy of a really horrible human being.
Bryan Cranston style. Yeah. You just get in there.
And your name is actually what?
Oh, Reed. R3ID. I got bored with the E, so it's a 3 now.
All right, cool, man.
Nice meeting
you're
you.
You're cool. You'll do fine. You'll do great. Look for R3ID. Libby from Carmel, Indiana. You'll be hearing that name again, I'm sure. Okay, so then I got to work on my performance style now. I'm a little self-conscious. I didn't even know I had to think about that. We're going to play another round of the What Do You Know quiz, a chance for you to win fabulous prizes simply for being fabulous. And so now then, I'm gesturing a lot more than I used to, too. That's part of my performance thing. So... let's see the hands of those of you who want to try this time. You saw it worked. It worked pretty well, and I think that okay, you. That seems fair. A little gender equality here. How are you?
Good. And yourself?
Not bad. Well, this hurts when I do this. And on sometimes this might be arthritic is what I'm thinking now. I'm having some problem with that. Okay, that was not a question you asked, though. So, you know, you reach a certain age, you actually start to answer those questions. That's to be avoided, if at all possible. And your name is?
Jason Siechlog.
Really? How do you spell that?
S-I-E-D-S-C-H-L-H.
Jason. Are you from around here, Jason?
Reedsburg, Wisconsin.
Reedsburg, the butter capital. Butter! Jason! All coming together now. Give me one good reason you should play this quiz, Jason.
One good reason to play the quiz?
Play the quiz, or not to, either one.
I think I know answers.
You think you know answers?
Yes.
Okay, that's weak, but that's like a weak password kind of answer. That's why when you put a password in, they say weak, you know, if you're a password. Have a seat there if you want. Do you get that for your passwords ever, weak? Don't you hate that? That's so judgmental. Having your password called weak. I use it anyway. Hell with them. I don't care. I like it. It's worked
for me. 1, 2, 3, 4.
5, sometimes. Sometimes you need 6 digits, so it goes all the way up at that point. What do you do these days, Jason? You working?
I'm a teacher.
Oh, yeah. Where do you teach?
In Nisita, Wisconsin.
Nisita. What do you teach?
High school history and social studies.
Really?
Yes.
What do they call it these days? Social studies still?
Yeah, social studies, yeah.
Yeah. They always call it, what did they used to call it? It was history, wasn't it? Before it was social studies. But I thought it was something after social studies.
Social sciences.
Social sciences, there we go. Social performance. There we go. Then you have to worry about that part of it. And so what are you guys studying right now?
Right now in U.S. history, we're studying the Cold War.
The Cold War. I was there for that. Want to know anything?
Do I know anything, or do you know anything?
No, I do want to know anything, because you probably don't remember it, right? You're a young fella.
All right, well, I am young.
What do you want to know?
Fallout shelters?
Fallout shelters, some people had them. What else?
Sputnik?
Oh, boy, that was something. Remember that? It beeped. That's the only thing it did, Sputnik, it beeped. But that was enough to put him in the lead. What else?
Protests at UW-Madison. Do you remember that?
The what?
The protests at UW-Madison over the Vietnam War.
He doesn't remember that.
That's not Cold War. You're skipping ahead in time here. I know that, too. Is that next week's lesson? Because I got lots of stuff for you on that. Okay, we're good. I haven't covered most of the Cold War, anyhow, the important parts of it. And how do you like teaching? Enjoy? How long have you been doing it?
10 years now.
Yeah? So you like it?
Yes.
Yeah, enjoy it. I bet your kids really enjoy your class as well. You trying to make it...
relevant?
Not relevant, then. You know, entertaining, engrossing, the performance element.
A little bit, I guess.
You ever come in costume as Lincoln? Or?
I thought about it, but I haven't.
Yeah. Come as the Gettysburg Address. You know? Wow, this big piece of paper walked in the room. Actually, written on the back of an envelope. You come as an envelope.
That would be great.
Say, who am I, kids?
And they wouldn't know.
No, they wouldn't know. Did he actually, by the way, write it on the back of an envelope?
I don't believe so, actually.
Okay. I'm going to look it up. I'm going to Google it. Well, that's really cool. And are you from around here, or...?
From Reedsburg, actually. You well, I live in Reedsburg. Yeah. I originally grew up in Orangeville, Illinois.
Oh, you did, huh?
Yes.
I've been to Orangeville. Isn't that really, you got to go through, because we're going to Sterling.
Right.
And you have to go through Orangeville, don't you?
Isn't that you used to. They built
they
a
rerouted
bypass.
It.
Yeah, they built a bypass around it probably about 10 years ago.
Yeah. Because then there's a big sign that said Orangeville, what's the name of the team?
Broncos.
Orangeville Broncos. There's a big sign. You go right past the school, right?
Right. And there's a statue of when they won the state championship for football, yeah.
Well, I didn't really stop. I'm sure there is, but yeah, Orangeville. How was that? Cool? Growing up in Orangeville?
It's nice, I guess, yeah.
You pretty much had to play on the highway, though, didn't you? Because the highway runs right through.
Right, right. Well, like I said, it used to, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you would basically, like, the sidewalk was right next to the highway, so, yeah. Like, you had to be careful not to get hit by a semi.
Okay. Unless you wanted to, I guess.
Yeah, probably, yeah, so, right.
Probably. Well, Jason, very nice to have you here. And it's a general knowledge quiz. You know how this works? No? Okay. Someone out there calls in, plays along with you. It's cooperative, isn't it?
That's Sarah? Right. Yep. Yeah. And people who want to play along, they pick up the phone and dial 1-800-942-5669. And you reach into that little black box there and ask them a qualifying question.
So it's not a competition is what I'm trying to stress.
No, it's here. A cooperation. Just it's like you and I every week.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. this box here?
Yep.
Okay. Percentage of kids who are caffeinated right now. I'll tell you, this is a surprising result to me, but between the soda and, I guess kids are drinking coffee now. You drink coffee? No, okay. She doesn't drink coffee. Percentage of kids who are caffeinated right now, within how many percentage points?
10?
Boy, you're generous.
5?
Okay.
Okay.
Percentage of kids who are caffeinated right now, kids who have caffeine in them or have something... you know, Coke or Pepsi or whatever, or, you know, something. Red Bull, yeah. Let's go to PJ in Brecksville.
Hello. Hi there.
Oh, this is the same PJ that was on before.
That's right. I called because somebody had a question for me in the audience.
Oh, no, we're done with that.
Yeah, I know. But I called back, and now I'm in the quiz.
Oh, you want to do the quiz thing?
Sure.
Okay. Percentage of kids who are caffeinated right now. Have some sort of caffeine product circulating in their systems, in their little systems.
40%?
You say 40?
Oh, surprisingly high? Is that what you said?
I said you're surprisingly
75%.
High, yes.
75%.
What? 75. Is that what you say?
75%.
It's 73% that I have here. I got PJ. I can't get rid of you, man.
Yay.
You, like, own this show, PJ.
All right.
You've taken over my show.
PJ's What Do You Know?
Yeah. Not so bad. Sounds pretty good. Okay, yeah. PJ, this is Jason, and he's a social studies teacher.
Yes, hi, Jason.
Yeah.
Hi, PJ.
My wife is actually doing her dissertation on Cold War civil defense.
Oh, wow.
Duck and cover.
Yeah. We're connected.
Leave your number, man. We'll get back to you on that. Yeah. We did the duck and roll.
Not duck and cover?
Duck and cover and roll.
Oh.
Duck and roll. Cover and whatever it was. You had to go get your little, from the cloakroom, get your little parka mentioned earlier, and kneel against the wall with your coat over your head in case of a nuclear attack. So I know what to do, and a lot of these young people are going to be lost if that ever actually happens. Well, that's what you do, I told you. Okay. What? Okay. PJ, you pick the first category from one of these.
Current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
What would you like?
Science.
Neanderthals. A, would strew their underskins all around the cave. B, were quite fastidious in their living spaces. Or C, practiced feng shui. This is Neanderthals' personal habits around the cave. Talk it over.
What do you think? Fastidious, Jason?
Is that the second choice, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Quite fastidious. That's even better than fastidious, I think.
Or is it right.
Better or worse than fastidious? Yes, that's right. Quite fastidious. Yay. Holy cow. You guys are too smart for this whole quiz thing.
One right and zero wrong.
Okay, what's left?
Current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Jason?
Let's go with people.
So Jason, do you have to coach? Social studies teachers always had to be coaches, too. Every school.
Yeah, I have coached, yes.
Yeah, what have you coached?
Girls basketball and football.
Girls football, too?
Not yet.
Okay, it's just boys football?
Yeah.
But both? Are you not coaching currently?
I am not coaching girls basketball anymore.
I don't know why you're being devious about this. Something happened. It's funny, a guy taught high school English, you know. Right. And they never made the English teachers coach. Did you notice that? You ever see an English teacher? I teach, you know, literature. And I coach boys wrestling. Never. Never happened. Okay. Here's the question from the people category. Do conservatives even like cats? Is it A, not so much, B, love them, or C, none of your business?
I have no idea.
I was thinking A.
Not so much?
Not so much.
He says not so much.
I'm leaning towards liking cats.
I'm okay with going with B then.
Love them?
I don't know.
C, I guess, yeah.
None of your business.
What was C?
Oh, no, wait.
You went A first,
not so
right?
You're leaning towards not so much, and then he sort of turned your head around a little bit.
Right.
Do you feel fundamentally correct in what you're saying?
With the first choice?
I'm going to say, let's go A.
Yes. Not so much. That's right. I dropped my little bell, and I never picked it up. Okay. Here it is. Let's win it on this one. You got one more chance to win this quiz, and what's left?
Current events, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Okay. Whose turn is it? PJ, what would you like?
I think things we should have learned in school. Since
here it is.
Teacher.
For all the money. What's that thing called in science class that makes your hair stand on end?
Static electricity?
No, the van...
You're talking to a social studies teacher.
Generator. Any idea? What's that, John?
Transgenerator?
Van de Graaff generator?
That's right, the Van de Graaff generator.
Yay!
They don't use them anymore.
Jason, you can roast a What Do You Know show apparently. And a pound of What Do You Novo roast from Denver's Novo Coffee. PJ, you can celebrate a quarter century of comedy from the father of small talk radio with a priceless anniversary quarter, combining the profiles of both great men. Congratulations to you both.
And other things, too, I'm sure.
Thanks,
BJ. Nice talking to you.
Hey, Peoria, What Do You Know fans, Michael and the gang will be in your neck of the woods on Saturday, March 22nd.
Jason.
Come to the Five Points Theater in Washington, Illinois to be part of the show. Tickets for this special broadcast are available at notmuch.com.
Yeah,
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman,
bye, everybody. Thanks,
Scott.
PRI, Public Radio International.